Last week, we continued our study of longing for home, looking at heaven, looking at glimpses of our home. And my, how we have seen some pretty amazing things about our heavenly home and makes us long for it even more. But then we come to chapter 22 when we've got some things that we have some questions about. We have to have some understanding. And many of you in the beginning of this series brought me some questions about heaven. We answered a few last week. Tonight we'll touch on another one, and then next week we'll start answering some other questions that you had. But we come to that verse 2, and we looked at the tree of life last week. And we looked at the tree of life demands a decision. Not only in the Garden of Eden did it demand a decision, in heaven is going to demand a decision. And so in through our life now, it's demanding a decision. But tonight we come to the last phrase of chapter 22, verse 2. But let's read verse 1 and 2 together. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. That portion tonight we want to look at is the leaves of the tree of life have a purpose in heaven. Those leaves are for the healing of the nations. Would you agree with me tonight that our nation needs healing? And would you agree with me tonight that other nations of our world tonight need healing? Oh yes, they all do. Ours especially. Not only nation against nation, but internally within our nations there is healing that needs to occur today. Liberalism versus conservatism. The left versus the right, socialism versus capitalism, dictatorships versus democracies, and on we could go. If we were hired tonight to be an independent war correspondent, we would have a world of conflict to choose from on where we would begin our coverage. There are approximately 56 active armed conflicts around the world tonight. 56. And that's as of yesterday. Some of those countries include Ukraine, Russia, the Sudan, Gaza, Yemen, Myanmar, Syria, Iran, Israel, Lebanon, every country in the Middle East, really. And then global terrorism is in all over the world. So there's conflicts all over the world tonight that demand healing, needs healing. There's just a few of these conflicts tonight around our world tonight, but they all need that healing. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 2, the tree of life has leaves on it that provide the healing of the nations. And we don't have access to it tonight. But what is the purpose of the healing of nations in heaven? Why will we need the leaves of the tree of life in heaven to provide healing in heaven? The visual picture that we have presented in verse 1 and 2, especially verse 2, is this river, this pure river coming from the throne of God, flowing down the middle of the holy city Jerusalem, and the tree of life is so large that it spans the river, and its foliage covers the river on either side, and the river's in the midst of the street, and the tree is on either side by its canopy. It's talking about it's reachable to all. It's available to all. It's so broad, it's so wide, it's so big that all can get to it. The tree of life, we've noticed, illustrates the restoration of things. Some have asked a question we'll answer now about the word month in verse 2. It says again in verse 2, in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. Now, why months? There's no time in heaven, so why do we have the word months here in heaven? It was an interesting study, but it's pretty understandable real quick that there is no time in heaven, so this is a symbolism for us today on earth. And those that have read the scriptures for countless years now have to have some type of semblance and understanding of what we're seeing and understanding. So to have this word month mentioned in verse 2, we of course know there's no time in heaven. We're there for all of eternity. The clock stops once all the saints of God are in heaven and in the new heaven and new earth. We will not be in time, we will be in eternity. And no clocks or watches are needed, and praise the Lord, no alarm clocks will need to be set. So why the mention of months here in this verse? The verse is not talking about an earthly measurement of time in heaven, but a symbol of perpetual abundant provision that we today can understand here on earth. So we calculate things in time. We see the harvest season and the planting season and the growing season. Those are the months of the cycle of growth, and things that farmers understand, things that gardeners understand, things that we understand as human beings here on this earth, we need to measure time somehow. And so this verse is helping us to understand that this is a symbol of perpetual abundant provision for humanity forever in heaven. But while we're here on earth, it helps us. And John, as he's getting this vision, he is seeing that this fruit is going to be on the trees every month. It's eternal. It's a provision eternally for us. This reference is to help us to understand God's blessings in heaven are constant. His blessings are continual, and His blessings are complete. There's never a month, if we had to measure it by time, there's never a month in heaven that the tree of life is not going to have fruit. There's never a month in the tree of life that it's not going to have leaves on it. It is a perpetual, constant, complete provision by God. That's what it's trying to help us to understand while we're here on earth. Let's go back to the leaves now. Why leaves on the tree of life, and why do they need to heal in heaven? Since we know that nothing impure, nothing sinful, nothing deceitful will ever enter heaven, for only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will there be there in heaven. So there won't be any healing needed from sin. There won't be any healing needed for impurities. There won't be any healing needed for deceitfulness. So that's something that the leaves are not going to heal, because it won't be there. The healing of the leaves is not for a healing of mankind's sin nature or a repairing of a broken fellowship with God. All of that is restored. But what are these leaves? Look back at chapter 21 and verse 8. In Revelation 21 and verse 8. Notice the scriptures. We looked at this a few weeks ago. The fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Remember, this is talking about that constant, unrepented structure of life. You are classified as a murderer, you're classified as a sorcerer, you're classified as a liar, you're perpetually that in your life without remorse. It's not somebody that's told one lie and you're going to go to hell. That's not what that means. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So this verse helps us understand that healing of the leaves is not for sin, because sin is not going to be in heaven. Chapter 21, verse 27, the last verse of chapter 21, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So the healing of the leaves is not for deceitfulness. The healing of leaves is not for impurity or for defilement, because it won't be there. No disease, no sickness, no disability, no infirmities will be in heaven as well. So the healing of the leaves is not for the healing of physical man's ailments. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." I'm coming back to that verse in another few weeks to answer a question. "But God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." So in verse 4, we realize the healing of the leaves is not for physical ailments. But what is it for? Good question. Glad somebody asked that. This was a good study. For the healing of the nations. This does not mean physical healing, but spiritual. An internal spiritual healing. The curse is gone. Sin is excluded from heaven. So these leaves of the tree of life refer to the comprehensive wholeness that God is going to bestow on humanity in heaven. A comprehensive wholeness. We're not whole today. We're anything but whole. But one day, we're going to be completely, comprehensively whole. It's going to be bestowed on us. A harmony. You remember we talked about conflicts, 56 armed conflicts in the world tonight? Probably even more tonight than it was yesterday. 56 armed conflicts all over the world. War is raging. People are upset with each other. It's either, "I want your land, I don't like you, I don't like your religion, I want what you have." An armed conflict over some type of sin, really. Now let's just think about the span of history right now for a moment. We go back to the times of the Romans. And the Romans conquered pretty much the known world, from India all the way to Spain and up to England and down into Africa. Do you think Rome had some enemies? Do you think the Germans and the barbarians loved the Romans? Do you think those people that were conquered by the Romans loved the Romans? No. What about the Persians? The Persians, again, conquered most of the known world at that time. The Persians were brutal in their armed conflicts and their conquering of nations. They had enemies. How do the Persians get saved? Same way we get saved today. How do Romans get saved? The same way we get saved today. Let's go back even further. Let's go back to the Egyptians. The Egyptians conquered and lost places. We have hieroglyphs and we have buildings built, and it's all propaganda of, "Look what we did. Look who we conquered." They had lots of enemies. How'd the Egyptians get saved? Same way we get saved today. Faith in Christ. They look towards the cross. We look back at the cross. But it's all about Jesus. Can an Egyptian back in time get saved? Yes. Can a Persian back in time get saved? Yes, Daniel was a faithful witness. Can the Romans back in Paul's day get saved? Oh, Paul was a faithful witness. So yes. Think of the Philippian jailer. Just one example. So when we get to heaven, if it's tomorrow or if it's 100 years from now or if it's 5 minutes, when we get to heaven and all of the book of Revelation has been completed and the new heaven and the new earth are created and the new holy city comes down as we've seen, and all the saints of God, Americans, Romans, Persians, Egyptians, and every other nation on earth that has accepted Christ as their Savior will be there. How many nations tonight hate the Jewish nation? Oh my, just start counting those that don't hate them and you'll be easier to count. Can Jews be saved? Absolutely. Can those that hate Jews be saved? Can a Nazi back from World War II, if they were presented with the gospel, would God forgive them? Yes. So when we get to heaven, till we get to the new heaven, new earth, and the new holy city, Jerusalem, and we have a tree of life that's spanning the river, the pure river from the throne of God, on that tree is not only 12 manner of fruit constantly, but there's leaves on that tree. And these leaves are for what purpose? Healing of the nations. So those that the Persians conquered, those that the Egyptians conquered, those that the Romans conquered, those that Israel's conquered, those who have conquered, enemy against enemy, warfare against warfare, in heaven, if they've trusted Christ as their Savior, they will be there together. So the tree of life's leaves are to instill harmony and wholeness and unity in the hearts of all believers, no matter what nationality, what ethnicity, what race, what culture, what country, what lineage of life that you have come from. You will all, and we will all be in heaven together, and the leaves of the tree of life are for healing. Putting aside all that hatred. Hatred to sin. Sin can't enter heaven. But these leaves are healing and bringing wholeness to once devout enemies, hated enemies, the healing of nations. So you say, that sounds like a stretch. Do you have some scripture to back that up? So much so that I couldn't get it all in. So the scriptures tonight do agree. This passage also has a tremendous theological significance on the agreement of Scripture with Scripture and on the teaching of nations. From the scattering at Babel, remember the tower at Babel? To the gathering in the New Jerusalem, God's plan has moved from judgment to blessing. Tower of Babel is judgment all through history, judgment. We get to the New Jerusalem, it's all about blessing. And it's blessing through Abraham's seed, so that the peoples from every tribe and every language would be ransomed and have the opportunity to choose Christ, to serve Christ, and to reign with Him one day. In Genesis 11 and verse 9, we go back to the Tower of Babel. It says, therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. Now you go to chapter 12 of Genesis and verse 3, and God's talking to Abraham. He says, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Is that just the Jewish nation? All families of the earth. Is that just in Abraham's day? All families of the earth shall be blessed if you bless Abraham and his people. If you curse them, you'll be cursed. Now let's take it to the New Testament. Let's go to Matthew 28. The Great Commission. Inside of the Great Commission is a great phrase. It says in verse 19, go ye therefore. What's those next three words? teach all nations. Teach all nations what? Teach all nations the gospel. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Who is the gospel for? All nations. All nations. Enemies, conflicting with each other, hating each other's guts. Gospels for all nations. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall," that's a promise, "shall be saved." I love that word, whosoever. When I'm talking to someone about their soul and a place in eternity, and they know if they died, they go to heaven, I say, put your name there. Where it says, whosoever, put your name there. "For Brian shall call upon the name of the Lord," what does it say? "Shall be saved." Over in John chapter 1 and verse 12, we understand what we have to do. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "But as many," doesn't number it, "but as many as received Him," Jesus, "to them," those that receive Him, "He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." There is a receiving and a believing. That's what we have to do. Revelation chapter 5, looking at this agreement of the Scriptures about nations and this teaching of nations through the Scriptures. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation." The teaching of nations in the Bible agrees with each other. The gospel is for all nations, all people, all kindred, all tongues. No matter if you're hated enemies, no matter if you have despised and rejected God's people, if you've come back to repentance and you've accepted Christ, will forgive, and you will be in heaven. And you can partake of the leaves of the tree of life and have healing, spiritual healing, from that animosity and hatred. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." No matter what nationality you are, no matter what conflict that you have been in, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you have a place in heaven. You will not be rejected because of the color of your skin. You will not be rejected because of your culture. You will not be rejected because of your ethnicity or your nationality. If you've trusted Christ, you're welcome. He says, come. Your thirst, come. That's to all people. But there are things that we're going to have to lay aside. There's things, and I know we get to heaven, we're going to be perfect. God's going to wipe away those tears, and we're going to go into glory rejoicing, not remembering some things in the past that bring us tears. But the tree of life in heaven has leaves that can heal spiritually. Significant. The presence of nations and kings. Further down, it talks about the kings coming in and going out. The presence of nations and kings in the New Jerusalem does not erase distinctions. We've talked about this. We will be known by who we are to here today. We will be known in heaven, but we'll have a new name as well. We'll have a changed body. But these kings and these nations, that distinction is not erased. Channeling their honor to God and harmonizing this life under His rule and His reign. No longer is it about a king or a dictator or a president or whatever you want to call your national leader that you would follow. All of this is going to be harmonized under one king, Jesus. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. I don't know if I have that slide. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3 says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon them, and His glory shall be seen upon them." And, verse 3, I love it because it's talking about us. "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." We have a part. Romans chapter 11. People skip over these verses because of one word. Don't do that. We've taught lessons on it before. Romans 11, 28 through 32 says, "As concerning the gospel, there are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, ye have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all." God desires to have mercy on all mankind. What's a lot to take in? It's a lot to understand. Let's try to bring it home to us tonight. How can we apply this to us? The lessons of Revelation 21 that we've spent many weeks on, and the Revelation chapter 22 lessons we've looked at for a few weeks now, can really be summarized for a call for believers to long for the presence of God more than for the things on earth. But unfortunately, and many Christians' lives today, they long for the things of earth more than the things of heaven. Lives are consumed with getting. Just challenge you this week. I challenge you. Don't have any Amazon boxes delivered to your house this week. I challenge you. Can you do it? Long for things of heaven rather than the things of earth. We can do without things. We don't need everything. The gift in Revelation 22 is not merely a tree. It's the Lord. He's dwelling with His people. The source behind every fruit and every leaf, every light, every bit of joy. Him. It's all about Him. The Christian life's difficult. It's challenging. But while here on this earth, we have been given the Spirit of God to dwell in us and to remind us about a future that waits us. Spiritually applying this tree of life and these leaves and this fruit. God abundantly blesses us here. But oh my, what's going to be like in heaven? The promise of the nation's healing helps the church tonight. Even though we can't reach the leaves tonight for nations' healings as we need it tonight, and our own nation's healing as well as other nations' healings, even though we can't reach it tonight, it has an application for us tonight. The promise of the nation's healing helps us as a church body to think globally with mercy. The gospel is not a private message. It's not for those for whom we choose to share it with. For those missionaries whom we choose to serve and not others. It is the good news for all of mankind. No matter the color of their skin or their language or their nationality, their cultural diversity or their ethnicity, the gospel's for them too. And so this understanding of the tree of life and the blessings of the fruit and the blessings of the leaves should help us to think globally with mercy, as we've read in several verses tonight. Our church's mission outreach is not only to cover North Carolina and Clayton, but it's supposed to go beyond Clayton, supposed to go beyond North Carolina, supposed to go beyond the United States, our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria. And what's the last part? The uttermost part of the earth. I mean, to people that we despise, people that we hate, people that we don't trust. I'm not going to name them, but you start naming some in your head and your heart. And there are nations, there are people groups that are like, God can't love them. He died for them too. There is no favoritisms. There is no prejudices with God. He's not a respecter of persons. Our mission's outreach goal should be to reach every nation we possibly can with the gospel. If the New Jerusalem welcomes all nations and keeps the gates open, when the church should also welcome brothers and sisters from across cultures with mercy, with grace, with eagerness, pursuing peace and unity in the truth of the Scriptures. Bigotry, prejudice, racism has no place in Christianity, nor in the hearts and minds of believers. If God welcomes them, we should too. Thirdly, this passage and this tree of life and its fruit and its blessings and its leaves, this passage strengthens our endurance and suffering. The former things are going to pass away. Tears, mourning, pain, suffering, all gone. The saints of God who hurt now have a hope and a rest to come where there is no suffering or pain. God Himself shall wipe away every tear, and all that is broken and hurting and irreparable in this life will be made whole in the next. Nothing broken will remain unfixed in heaven. Nothing scarred will remain unhealed in heaven. Nothing fractured will remain unrestored in heaven. We have a blessed hope of healing to look forward to. Fourthly, this passage solidifies the nature of Christian hope. Our future home is not a fable. Heaven is not fantasy. Heaven is not fictitious. We have a hope, an eternal hope, that we shall walk on streets of gold, eat from fruit from trees that are unfathomable to our finite minds today, and worship by sight the one who died for us. This hope should reshape our daily choices. Our daily choices. It should urge us to pursue holiness. It should cause us to share the love of God with others. It should help us to endure, to persevere, to put aside that complaining spirit and look forward to an eternal destiny. And finally, this vision invites us to a fresh hearing of the gospel. The river, the road, the tree, the throne, the Savior are free for all who thirst. All you have to do is come. The nation's healing begins with sinners from every people trusting a Savior, the Savior, receiving the gift of eternal life. And it culminates when the redeemed stand in the holy city by the throne of God, praising our Savior. The leaves of the tree of life are not a footnote at the edge of Revelation's vision. They are a part of its center, where the throne's life renews everything it touches and where the nations find lasting fullness and wholeness in God's presence. The Garden of Eden's exile is gone. It's reversed. The curse is gone. And the world's long ache is answered by the Lamb whose wounds have been peace and whose reign ensures unending wholeness for His people. This is the future that anchors the faithful living now, because the river will flow forever and it will never become polluted or contaminated. It's a pure river from the throne of God. Believers can pour themselves out into love and not fear of running dry, because the city gates will never close. The church can open its doors wide, anticipate the day when every tribe and tongue gathers in unbroken fellowship together. And because the curse will be no more, Christians can fight sin with hope, suffer with patience, serve with joy, and confident that the leaves for healing are a promise God intends to keep forever. Those leaves are there forever. That fruit is there forever. The blessings of God will go on forever. So tonight, what do you need from the tree of life? What does it teach you? What does it cause you to ask God for? Tonight's journal is some hard questions about racism. Is it in your heart? And about applying the lessons of the tree of life, where it shapes our daily choices. I pray that you would take to heart the message of the tree of life. It's not a footnote at the end of Revelation's vision. It is an important part, at the very center of the message of the new holy city, Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the question that prompted this thought. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to think even more. I know I did not do it justice tonight. There's so much more to the tree of life, to its fruit, to its leaves. But Lord, teach us through the Holy Spirit of God, and then show us and illuminate the Scriptures and help us to put Scripture with Scripture and to understand this great truth. We love you tonight, Lord, and we thank you that you have died for us. Now, Lord, who are we unwilling to share the gospel with? Break down that barrier in our hearts. Help us to pray for them, to love them, to share the gospel with them, to extend mercy and grace to them. Because you say, if they're thirsty, all they have to do is come. Bless your people, I pray in Jesus' name.